session number 17570, reel 6.
Colonel Klishevich, reel 6. Now, I don't want the chronology to go any further beyond the USSR into Persia and the Middle East, because really this interview is about Russia mainly. But one thing that I don't quite understand that you've already told me is about this man Yan, who you've told me you were with for quite a long time. But you say the army authorities, the Red Army authorities, sent him. For what purpose? What was the reason why they sent him, and what was his function supposed to be as far as they were concerned?
You see, his function and that young, another young Pole, was the same. To spy on us, especially on me, you see, because I, as I told you, I was in charge of these Poles. And if anything, we were talking, you see, about the Polish army and so on, I was always, I was talking in the name of all those Poles, you see, and so on. So there, and you see, when I was talking to them, I was not very nice, you see, trying to persuade them, you see, to give me the answers, why not, and so on. So, you see, they were suspicious about me. And so in Russia, you have everywhere some spies, you see, on all places, and especially now in the unit, when you have 120-60 boys together, you see, they wanted to know about what's going on between them. And as far as Jan was born in Silesia, in Poland, and because of that he spoke German, because there were a lot of Germans in Silesia. You see, so when the war started, the First World War, he was not a very nice man, because he joined with other boys. They started first to steal, then they went to Germany, not only steal, but to kill. And he was only, say, once when they were in one place on their mission, they left one family. They were begging to shoot them, you see. And sometimes later, a few months later, he was in one of German towns, walking in one of the German towns, and then he felt that someone has put a hand on his soldier. He looked back, and man said, "Do you remember me?" He said, "Yes, I am the man that you robbed, and you nearly shot." And on the back, there was already German policemen, and they took him. They took they put him to the jail. There was jail on, I think it is on the River Odra, I said, near the Baltic. Very, very big jail. And he said one day, when he was walking through the yard, he noticed some Russian officers were going. So he ran to them and said, brothers, help me, I am communist, and the Germans put me in the jail and so on. And they said, well, we came specially here to take all the Russians, especially communists. And they took him, you see. And when they sent them to Russia, they put them in the camps, because a lot of the people were. But he said it was the time when Dzerzhinsky was in power. So he said he was in the camp, then he was let off, You see, say during the Dzerzhinsky's times, the Poles were free, had a lot of freedom, and they could do many things that they couldn't do later on.
But when Dzerzhinsky was a Pole.
He was a
and
Pole.
And the head of the Czechs.
But yes, but when Stalin finished with Dzerzhinsky, then all Poles were put straight to the jails, to the camps, and so on. And he said, Jan said, that all the time he was stealing and was moving from one jail to another, and from one camp to another, but he always had chance someone to escape. And so you see, and of course, you see, you are a thief. You are a thief, but you can be a very good spy. So they use some of them, him especially, yes, to spy on us. But I say, he straight away, he said, who is he and what he is here for? He has to look after me. I say, don't worry. What I am going to tell them, it won't harm you. And he was staying all the time with us. And then, you see, when we were when we were in Iraq, because first we moved, when we came to Middle East, to Palestine, then back to Iraq, and it was July 1942, the other part of Polish army came from Russia in that time. And I met one of my friends from the Russian unit, and we were talking about it. I said, how it happened that you are here? I said, when we discovered that you disappeared, we knew what to do. There is no hope for us. We must do the same. So we started to escape him. And luckily, most of us joined the Polish army. And I said, "But how do you know what happened to me?" I said, "Well, Jan came back, and he said that he took you to the Polish army." I said, "No, he didn't take me. He lost during the journey." Ah, he said, "Ah, he told us that he took you to the Polish army, and then on his way." Way back, he went to that Solhos when we were staying last time, and you know that he had a romance with the doctor in that place, so he stayed with her, but in the end he was fed up. He left and he came, traveled back to us, he joined us.
What was his second name?
I have to find, you see, I have somewhere, I think, in my notes.
Doesn't matter, anyway.
I don't remember now.
But you told me about that incident where he was arrested and you nearly missed the train. Did he tell you how he had come to be?
Ah, there? Yes, he told me. So what happened? He said, you see, when I buying that train, I gave that soldiers 30 rubles. A bread, the price of bread was 1 ruble. So those gendarmes saw that and arrested us both. They took us to the military command in town, and we were taken to the commanding officer, and he asked us what happened. So I told him that I was buying bread and they arrested us. Why they arrested us? Because they said that I pay too much for a bread. He said, how much did you pay? He said, 30 rubles. 30 rubles, it is only 1 ruble, cost 1 ruble. Yes, 1 ruble, but I can pay what I want. He didn't ask me for 30 rubles. He said that he will sell me bread. Ah, took out 30 rubles, I gave him 30 rubles. That's all. And says, listen, I have train, I can't stay here. But if you say that this is only 1 ruble, okay, here, give me back the 30 rubles, give his 1 ruble, and that is the end of the story. And that officer said, okay, that's all right, then you can go now. When we left the office, I gave him back those 30 rubles, those soldiers. That soldiers.
But prices in Russia were controlled.
Yes, I said 1 ruble. I see.
So
if anyone caught you on, and I say that's an example of bread, anything else, you charge more, you will be fined. And he knew about it, but you see, he was a cheeky man, and he said, "I can give what I like. I have money. I don't care." I gave him 30 rubles. Perhaps if I wanted, I could give him 50 rubles. What is wrong with that? No, because it is no. My money, I can do what I like. Okay. That's what happened.
But he bribed the officer.
No, he didn't bribe the officer. He didn't give the officer nothing. But he explained the officer the situation.
He didn't give him any money.
No, he didn't give the officer any money. He gave that soldier who sold him that bread. And he said when they left office, he returned him the money.
Another thing I'd like to ask you about is how lucky you seem to have been, because there you were, apparently with high military training. You knew all about weapons, you knew about military drill. It's surprising they didn't suspect you of being some foreign spy.
You see, perhaps it is it was too short time, because as I said, I came to Tikhorezk in 12th of May, 22nd of June, Germany started war. And that was not very short time. Of course, it was enough time to do something about it. You see, how it happened that I was talking during those political lessons. There are young officers who were very interested, you see, about the life in Poland and so on. And I knew that there was very sincere boys, and I could talk freely with them. Those Russian soldiers, most of them, except I say one or two, that they were working with the party, they were all right. They liked to listen when I was talking to you, see, about all the things. And I believe that they won't say anything about it. But someone told. I'm sure not those political officers, but someone else. You see, but I say, all right, we will see what happened, we will see shortly. And then I said, oh, this is the man you see we need. If he has influence on other Poles, you see, this is important for us, and so on. And then he's not afraid to talk.
But
I think this is...
To ask you to join the Communist Party seems to have been an absurdity, because the Communist Party is based on Marxism, and
yes.
Marxism is an atheistic philosophy. So how can somebody who's a Christian join the Communist Party?
Yeah, but he said, listen, we gave you everything what you like, and you will work for us. They don't care in that case if you are a believer in or not. You see, as long as you will help us to do the work that we are doing, and we need you to do something special, you can do what you like.
What did they mean when they said they would give you everything?
Well, that means if you... money, or you have practically all freedom, you see. You can go where you were. No, no, not far away, but anyway, you can live the normal life, safe way, you see. Safe life. You can do outside what you like, but you will do our job in the same time, you see.
Did you ever join the Communist Party?
No, I did. Why should I join? No, there was no. After that, when first time when that man talked to me, it was on 23rd of June, and 3 weeks later, we were sent took out from the front and sent to work as laborers.
And it sounds as though you didn't really do any fighting with the Germans in Russia.
No, we didn't fight. I didn't. Never had a chance to shoot. You see, as I said before, they didn't give us ammunition. There was only a few days before we were taken from the front. So they gave a few, some ammunition. So we have no chance, and that I didn't see Germans.
Did the Russians seem to be keen to fight for the regime?
No, they were not. I told you before, they were not. And that was the reason that some units went on other side without fighting. And because German, that was the biggest mistake that German make, to put them in those camps and try to kill them by not giving them food and so on. That Russian change attitude. And later they became patriots, those people who didn't want to fight. There was something else I forgot to tell. When I entered that Red Cross train, all soldiers who were in that train, they were invalids, all have shot right hand, the true ear.
Self-inflicted wounds.
Self-inflicted wounds. On the right hand, you can't shoot, you see, then. Why? How it happened that you can something happened to your hand? You are not shooting specially. Normally, you are shooting in front of someone. In that case, that was done by those soldiers. You see, so they didn't want to fight, but because of Germans' attitude, everything changed. There was no patriotism. When we were working in the saw houses, coal houses, in some factories and so on, we talked to people. You see, people were very nice to us. Russian people are very nice, you see. They are very poor. Can't say now why it is now, but it was I think there were many changes with time. You see, if you gave Russian bread and vodka, he is happy. He was born to serve when Tsar war and the same war when communists come. He was listening, he was not ready to fight and so on. Give him bread, give him vodka, and he will live happily. You see, unfortunately, everything was short. They were short of bread, they were short of vodka. They were drinking all kind of other things. The cologne, what the cologne and something else, whatever you gave him to drink. Sam was with cigarettes. There was a shortage of everything. They were very poor people. So they were when you talk to them, they listen and they say, oh, we wish that when the Germans come, everything will change. No, unfortunately, it didn't change.
Earlier on, you were saying that you used to sing these Polish army songs from the First World War. Could you sing one or two now?
I try. You see, during the First World War, Marshal Józef Piłsudski was the man who started organized the Polish army. That Polish army was had name Legione. That was Legion, yes, Polish Legion. And one of these songs was Legione to żołnierska nuta, Legione to żołnierski głos, Legione to żołnierska buta, Legione to ofiarny stos. My pierwsza brygada, strzelecka gromada, na stos rzuciliśmy swój życia los, na stos, na stos. I think I made mistake in the beginning somewhere, but this is very well known song from this time.
What's the meaning of the words?
Legends are soldiers of it's difficult to explain straight away, you see. People who are prepared to give their life for the cause, they are patriots. We are the first brigade who started to work and fight, and we put our lives on the stos. It is
altar,
on the altar, on the fire. We can say
sacrifice.
Yes, something like this. Sure.
And was that in the war against the Bolsheviks?
Well, that was during the war.
They
were singing, you see, but when that was before Bolsheviks came, you see, because Bolsheviks, that invasion was in 1920, a war finished in 1918, so it was before, you see, but they were singing this song and some others' songs. There was nothing wrong with those songs. Nothing, completely.
Do you know any others you can sing?
Yes, I know. In the moment, I can't remember. Wszystko mi jedno, moje ulubienie, czy mam, czy nie mam pieniądze w kieszeni, a jeśli nie mam, dowód oczywisty, że mi wystarczy szklanka wody czystej. Miała matula dwie córy, miała matula dwie córy, hej, maszerują nasi chłopcy po borowce, hej, maszerują, raz, dwa, trzy, do boju marsz, marsz, marsz. My, pierwsza brygada, strzelecka gromada, na stos rzuciliśmy swój życia los, na stos, na stos. Again, I don't remember well. There are several of those songs together, one after another, one verse after another.